red light instead of green. Now, it used to be green. Got a battery warning.
Probably, maybe. Yeah, it's working for now. We'll change the battery weight. Nope. Well, I didn't have it on, so that's why it didn't sound as well. I used to look at Peter and go, how could Peter be so much of a hoof and mouther? And you know, and it's not until you really face who you are that you understand how easy it is to be a hoof and mouther. And you know, as I began to mature a little bit, it brought me great consolation to understand that Peter spent most of his life not having his foot in his mouth, but trying to jam the other one in there with it. And how much I can be like that. But you know, there's something about Peter that we really... Because so much of his story is encapsulated in the gospel, in the beginning of his life, we don't really see the Peter of the end of his life. And you know, Peter is one of those great guys that ended at the top. That's the way our lives should be. We ought to end at the top. There are so many that start well and their best days are somewhere in the past. Ever heard somebody share a testimony? Which people don't do like they used to anymore, but you know, and they'll start their testimony with, well, I was saved 91 years ago, as though that was the last thing that God ever did in their lives. And there's other people that peak someplace in the middle. They start and they're going and they hit a spot and then it's all downhill from there. You know people like that? Peter was one of those people that by the grace of God ended at the top. And that alone we ought to take very seriously, as the writer of Hebrews says, to remember those who spoke the word of God past tense to us. Because it doesn't really matter where Peter started. What matters is where he finished. And as we look at these last words of Peter, written 30 going on 40 years after the resurrection. You know, isn't it amazing that there are some people that they can stay faithful and really living at a high spiritual level for 40 hours? Some for 40 days, for 40 weeks. You know, there's. Oh, I remember that year when I was so on fire for Christ. Peter had 40 years. And he gives us these words, and we would do well to remember what he says is important. So let's look at Peter's last words. Let's look at what it is that Peter says can change a man who started where Peter was, and that ought to give us all hope. and allow him to end where Peter did. And I want to talk today about four things that Peter hits so hard in this last word that he sends to the church. He knows his time is close. He says as much. We read it just a few minutes ago. He says in 1 Peter 1:14, I know that I will soon put it aside. I'm going to die soon. I'm at the end of the journey. And just if I could digress before I get started, isn't it sad today that there are so many who are ending their journey before the end of the journey? Notice Peter has a very short while to live. He's a very old man. He has a very short while to live, but he's still being used by God. How sad, how glad I am that Peter's saying, well, you know, I've reached 60 years old and I've had enough and I want to move to the south of France and kick back. And thank God that at the end he's still going. Let us look at what he has to say. Four things. Number one, first of all, he begins by repeating this phrase three times in different ways. Look at chapter 1, verse 12. He says, so I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them, are firmly established in the truth that you now have. Verse 13, I think it right to refresh your memory. Verse 15, I will make every effort to see that after my departure you are always able to remember these things. Three times in four verses, he talks about remembering. And Peter understood something that we so often do not take seriously, and that is that we constantly need to be reminded. What we know so often exceeds what we do. What we know so often exceeds what we do. And we need to be reminded, not because we don't know, but because we don't do. That's why the writer of Hebrews over and over again, chapters 3, 4, 5, talk about how we need to be constantly talking to one another. That's why church isn't a once a week thing. I have never in my life known a single person that was not, and I'll use the word daily, around other believers that maintained a high level of spiritual life. I've never known one. You cannot be a single log laying by yourself and stay on fire. Peter says, it's my job. Well, somebody says, well, you know, won't the Holy Spirit? Peter says, no. Mm-mm. Well, God speaks to me. Peter says, nope, that won't work. I need to remind you. Are you saying, you might say, well, Pastor, are you saying that the Holy Spirit doesn't? And I'm saying, nope, I'm not in any way disparaging the Holy Spirit. I'm saying the Holy Spirit uses me. And the means that he uses to remind us is one another. Peter says, I'm going to keep doing it till the day they send me home. And you know, there's an importance in that. Look over with me at the book of Revelation real quick. Look at Revelation chapter 3. Because we live in a day in which People don't care whether they're reminded, and spiritual leaders and pastors are acting as though that's insignificant. Well, once you're saved, everything's fine. You're doing good. Hey, don't worry about it. But look at what Jesus says to the church at Thyatira. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 24 and 25. Now, this is Jesus speaking. I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teachings and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets. Jesus is saying to those of you who are still faithful in this unfaithful church. He's not saying this to the backslidden people. He's saying this to those who are trying to serve Him in a backslidden church. And boy, we should really read this with care, because at best, this is where we are. Because we have to acknowledge that we are part of a backslidden church in this nation. A church that is very quickly and very widely learning Satan's so-called deep secrets. He says, I will not impose on you any other burden, only hold on to what you have until I come. He says, you've got to hold on to him who overcomes. In other words, to those who actually hold on. Are you holding on? You know, we use terms like revival and backslidden so lightly today. Do you understand how horrible it is, a thing it is, to slide backwards? Cover the same ground again and again. During World War II, General George Patton was making tremendous strides once they got out of the hedgerow country in northern France, was racing across France towards Germany, and it created a problem because World War II was a political alliance even more than it was a military campaign. And one of George Patton's great rivals was Bernard Montgomery, the British field commander, top British general. And he became jealous that Patton was covering so much ground. So he insisted that resources be diverted to his army so that he could make those kind of advances. And in the midst of the war, Patton's army was suddenly deprived of gasoline, ammunition, food, the stuff they needed to press home the advance. And one of Patton's superiors said, well, George, just pull back and regroup. And George Patton said, I don't pay for the same real estate twice. I'm not going to go back, not a mile, not a foot. There is only one direction, and that is forward. Oh, to God that we had that attitude.
So often we give in. We don't hold on.
Thank you. Peter writes, and he says, remember. It's not that intellectually we lose that. It's not that we're suddenly going, oh, I've forgotten everything. It's that it no longer impacts us. How many truths are there? Things that you not only know today, but that you knew in the past. But now, they don't impact you the way they used to.
How many things are there that at one time you were so overjoyed that God had shown you? An important way of life, a new level of living for Him, and now intellectually you know that those things are true, but
The last thing he has to say in the church, the thing that is done is what? did. Is it gone in and out again? Told you it was green. So I guess this microphone, when that turns red, you want to change that battery.
And we were young and naive enough to think that that was something new.
and there were all those books coming out, the 1970s coming out, the Armageddon, the late, great planet Earth, Israel, oil, and the Middle East crisis. No. Woo! We get through the next 10 weeks, man, and we're set. Jesus will be back. Are you?